Hello, my name is Jonathan Prince, and today I'm interviewing my mother, Penelope Prince, on the topic of her life in the Panama Canal Zone. Today's date is Sunday, December 9th. My first question, what was it like to grow up on a military base in the U.S.-controlled Canal Zone?
It was glorious. First of all, you felt free and safe. We had the jungles in our backyard, and it was literally the best way to spend a childhood. We didn't even have to come home. We would just grab a mango or two and keep playing outside. I distinctly remember once walking through the jungles and just taking a hike and running into a peccary. Didn't know it was a peccary. Just heard him snorting through the jungles, and it scared us. And I have two sisters, so we both screamed in the top of our lungs, running back all the way up the hill back to our house. So that's just a snippet of how it can be in the backyard of my home.
Sounds like fun.
It was so much fun.
So what were some of your favorite activities to do while you lived in the Canal Zone?
Oh, once you ask that question, a bunch of memories go in my mind. One in particular that I can cherish truthfully is the fact that we would go fishing. Considering we have both the Pacific and the Atlantic Ocean in Panama, and we would go out a lot with my dad, one of my favorite places to go is the Gatun Lake, which is the man-made lake between the locks and the Panama Canal. And it was huge. It was so big. And they had little mini islands everywhere. And we would get up super early in the morning and go with my father. And he was in the Army, so he would rent out this small John boat, and that's all we would need in the lake. Even though we had another boat that was perfect for the lake. We would go off base, and there would be men with buckets in the corners filled with minnows. And my dad always insisted that we buy minnows and not worms because he said we're planning to eat the fish afterwards and we don't want to eat a worm. So we would always get minnows, a bunch of minnows, and put them in the boat and then launch off. And my dad always said that he had a hunch and knew the exact perfect place to get Bubba. It's the biggest fish in the lake. That's what we named him. We would get so many fish. We would call them sargentos. In English, they're called peacock bass. And we would compete how many we would get laying there. We would always pack a sandwich. And if my little sister was always scared because sometimes we would go really close to the edge and she would get really mad because there's spider monkeys. And the spider monkeys would squeal and she would freak out. She did not like being near the jungle too much. She was our girly girl. But most of the time, we would go in the middle and sometimes jump in to swim, but you had to be very careful because on top of that, there was alligators in the lake. And one time I would actually have my feet dangling from the boat. No joke, my sister said, get your feet back in the boat because there was a coral snake swimming past my feet. Although this all sounds really scary, it was the best life you could ever have. And fishing is definitely, hands down, my favorite thing to do in Panama.
Totally fun.
It was so much fun.
What are some of your favorite memories from growing up in the Canal Zone?
Well, we had several memories. One in particular is there was this huge hill next to the admin building. And it looked like steps, like long, big hill steps that was man-made. We would get cardboard boxes in the bottom and just slide down. We didn't have snow in Panama, so that was the best thing we could do. We would always play games. Like, we were always outside playing games, whether it be manhunt, like hide-and-seek outside, kick the can, things like that. You know, we were always outside, and nobody ever wanted to be inside, and we made up games on the process. So we were very healthy kids, always outside, no indoors.
So since you did live in both the U.S. and Panama at times, do you notice like a big difference between the way like you grew up within the States and in the Canal Zone?
Actually, yes. While we were in high school, my sophomore year, I had the opportunity to go to the United States for 6 months. And luckily, and I say lucky because I'm so glad we went back, I had a a very good chance to compare our school and our way of life compared to the United States. We were in Texas. We were in San Antonio, to be exact. There was a lot of kids trying to define themselves and being gangs or trying to make decisions such as that, trying to be bad and trying to be cool in that way. Mm-hmm. I didn't think we had that situation in our school, and it wasn't until I left and came back and I realized it. And then when I noticed there was, you know, we were military based, so we always had new kids coming. Every 2 to 3 years, there was new kids coming to our school. So we always had a new kid. It was not uncommon. And our thing as a school, we would welcome them and kind of let them know how it was run there, that we didn't do bad things, that if they did do bad things, it was not to be talked about. It was kind of taboo. For example, there was a kid that came. I'm not going to say his name in respect because we're still friends. But when he came down, he had a blue bandana he would wear, and he had this spoon that he would keep in his mouth, and he would never sit properly in our classroom. He would kind of like lean back and put his feet on and say, "I didn't care," and said all these swear words and stuff. And at first, he'd be cordial. Everyone ignored it, but we all looked at him. Have you ever had that situation with a kid? Yeah. You look at him, and everyone had big eyes like, "Oh, okay, what's going on with that kid," right? We knew that he came straight from the United States, and he wanted to look as if he was the cool kid. Well, that didn't fly in our school. We all looked at him, we let him be, and then he did something wrong. He talked back to one of our teachers. Now, you have to understand, our teachers were Zonians also, most of them at least. And if they weren't, they understood. We have this mutual respect with our teachers, and we honored them. They were our teachers. Simple as that. We respected adults. And for him to do that instantly, he didn't realize the percussion from that. There were repercussions from that. Instantly, the kids pulled him aside and said, "Uh-uh, knock it off. This is how it's done." Well, I didn't get to see what happened exactly to him. Mm-hmm. But I know for a fact, because I actually switched classes from that classroom. You know how you change classes in the beginning of the year. I didn't get to see much of him, but some short time well afterwards, I saw him hanging out with the right crowd. He didn't wear a blue bandana anymore, and the spoon was out of his mouth. I didn't understand the spoon thing. I remember staring at him like, "What's the spoon?" Have anything? Maybe he was ready for pudding. I'm not sure, but he always had a spoon in his mouth. Well, he seemed different. His shoulders more relaxed, and he was part of us, and that's how it was in our school. You're going to be cool just by being good. Mm-hmm. And I think I see that a lot in Flower Mound High School as well. And I see that a lot with good kids. I just think that when there's a culture, you don't want to mess that up. And people didn't let it. We were a positive group of kids and nobody was going to mess with that. That was our, you know, it was just known. We were a happy bunch. So that's a good answer. And another thing very, very different of our school is that because the population was decreasing, we had 4 football teams because we had to, as the Americans were leaving, they had to shrink a lot of the bases. So in our school, by the time I was in high school, we had 4 football teams, and I didn't realize that was not the normal. I thought that was how it was, you know, not being into sports. I thought it was great. You pick the team, you pick the color, and that was it. There was the Balboa Bulldogs, which is the main team of our school because we were the Balboa High School, Green Machine, Red Machine, and I'm sorry, Green Devils, Red Machine, and Cougars. And that was our 4 main football teams. Anybody who tried out to be on the team made it. Anybody who wanted to be a cheerleader made it. It was not a big deal.
Pick one.
Yeah, just pick which one you want, and you're excited to support any team. Mm-hmm. So.
So as you're saying about the migration of the U.S. citizens out of the Canal Zone, mm-hmm. what were your opinions as both a Panamanian and American citizen on, like, should the Americans leave the Canal Zone or stay?
You know, when you look at past events and historical events, you wonder how things could have been different. And I go back and forth. It's very bittersweet. Selfishly of me, I wouldn't want the Americans to leave because we are a different species. Mm-hmm. We were American living in a Panama Canal area, and we had our own traditions and our own fun. And the fact that we were pretty much eliminated, we were lost. Many of us went to Florida. Some of us went to different DOD. DOD is the Department of Defense schools, and that's what our school laid under because it was American. A lot of people continued going to different parts of the parts of the world that had DOD. I happened to graduate, luckily, and I went to college, but my friends that stayed behind, you know, it was really hard. It wasn't easy, and a lot of tears were shed, for sure. Mm-hmm. But to answer your question, which side would I be on, or how would I feel, I think, okay, if you see the history a little bit, it all started out with the fact that, you know, students started wanting, the Panamanian students wanted to protest and put the Panamanian flag as well. United States was there, and we had the United States flag, obviously. They thought, because it's their country, that they should have the Panamanian flag there as well. I don't argue with that. I think it's absolutely true, being Panamanian as well, right? Mm-hmm. So President Kennedy actually had a very good compromise, saying from now on, the Panamanian and the American flag should be raised. And after he was assassinated, the governor pretty much said, take down the United States flag, just keep the Panamanian flag. I feel like that's where the mistake really led. Mm. Because you cannot tell an American to take down an American flag, United States flag. I know for sure I wouldn't want to. So what happened was many of my Zonian friends started really putting out the American flag. They put the American flag everywhere, on their house, in their cars, everywhere. Well, President Johnson, Lyndon B. Johnson, heard about that. When he heard about that, he was like, okay, something's going to happen. He didn't realize the students were doing that. So if you could see, these are kids fighting for their rights. And although both of them are correct, it was done very immaturely. Mm-hmm. And it happened, I think, no matter how you put it, no matter how you could have done it, the results of what happened would have to happen sometime. And I guess we have to accept the fact that it would have happened anyway. I mean, whether we stayed or not, it is what it is, you know, and I have to learn how to accept it. Do I want to accept it? I'm still having a hard time with it. It's been since 1999, and I'm still having a hard time with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So as you grew up throughout your schooling and everything in Panama, obviously as the Torrijos-Carter Treaty was signed before you were born, as you learned about what was going to happen and how the Americans were going to move out of the zone, like, how did that impact you?
It broke my heart. I mean, we were stationed many places beforehand. When we were stationed back to Panama and I was going to high school there, I did learn about the fact that we were going to be closing shop. There was a kid in our high school. Yeah, he was actually older. He would make these T-shirts and sell them locally, to the other students, and they were all Zonian T-shirts that only we would understand. Mm-hmm. And they were silly. Some of them I didn't understand. It was something probably within his circle. One of them in particular, when I saw it, nobody laughed. He had a drawing of leaving the room and clicking off the light, or pulling, you know, those pull lights with the light bulb? Mm-hmm. And he said, "La Zonian out, please turn out the light." And I think that's when it really hit me. I was sitting in class, and I saw it because the kid that was wearing it was in front of me. And I kept on staring at the image of the last person out turning off the light. And then looking around the classroom and all the faces, like, where are we going to go? Where are we going to be? Mm-hmm. I knew where I was going to be. And I knew that Panama was always going to be home. Luckily, I have family there. But some people that I knew, this was it. This was our family. And they had to go back to the United States. They never lived in the United States. It wasn't easy. And I, thinking about it, just kidding me. But knowing that we were going to graduate and not be able to come back and visit our alma mater and visit friends, visit our teachers, mm-hmm. just broke my heart. Broke my heart. And I thank Facebook every day that I can see them there.
So if you're able to go back in time and change the way that everything played out, like as you said earlier about how the immaturity between how things were handled, mm-hmm. like how do you think things should have been handled to minimize the negative outcomes?
Well, I think you're right. I think having the respect, simple respect that we are in communication. I feel like the mutual respect and defining the guardrails of what our mission was there mm-hmm. in the Panama Canal Zone. A lot of them were engineers and they worked in the canal zone for centuries and centuries. Was there giving them the Zonians options of how they could stay and remain with Panamanian governor, rules and regulations by flying the Panamanian and the American flag side by side like it should have been and should be with respect and unity to have things, to have that holiday celebrated together. We ended up, because of the flag problem or issue, mm-hmm. On January 9th, is Martyrs Day in Panama, and to remember, because some students died, including some American soldiers, and some violent protests, and because of that, I mean, our President Torrijos and President, President Carter and President Torrijos did what they had to do to fix it and find a solution, and for that I respect them. However, I feel like it was too radical, mm-hmm. and it was just, it didn't fix, they forgot us, I believe. They forgot that there was a whole a species down there, mm-hmm. and they didn't know where to go. And I felt like they were left behind, not without any guidance. Sorry, it's just hard to say.
So had they taken into account the whole new species down there and perhaps like left a new military base for them to stay there? Or an embassy even for the United States. Do you think it would be a lot different today?
Absolutely. I mean, as we speak, there's a lot of my friends that are there. There's a school called Babel Academy, and they converted one of the buildings that way. And they did find common grounds with the Panamanians. However, they're not considered Zonians anymore. Mm-hmm. Our tradition's out the window. You know, we don't have Babel High School. We don't have the things, the symbolism, the building symbolism, the people that define who we were, the tradition, all of it, it's gone. So, yes, I think that we should have stayed. I guess by talking this out with you, you can obviously see that I can't pick to be just about the feeling of being okay. I'm against the Torrijos-Carter Treaty. I don't like it. I'm against it. And as much as I want to be politically correct and saying it was okay, if you want my opinion, it shouldn't have happened.
Yeah, I understand that. All right, well, this concludes our interview. However, I would like to know more about how you said earlier about how you lived in the jungle. Were there any different animals that you saw there? Or different experiences?
Lots of animals. In our backyard one time, we had a sloth in our backyard, and my mom was saying there was no way we could have our backyard dinner, you know, we would eat dinner in the backyard, because a sloth was sitting there. So I would grab it, and sloths sometimes have moths inside their fur. Mm-hmm. I grabbed the sloth, and I hugged it, and it smelled very, very good. I had to bring it down the hill. Another time was I would always grab the bananas, extra bananas, and feed the curumandes. The curumandes are these long-tailed family. A long tail. They kind of look like raccoons. Mm-hmm. And they would travel in flock, which I loved. They were always a family. It was not just one curumande. It was a whole family. And I would go over there and feed them bananas. And I would get in trouble for doing that. I guess my mom didn't want to give away our bananas, but I would feed them bananas. There was always, if you wanted to sleep in, you should close your window because the parakeets will flock over your windows or outside and screech. Just like when you go to the pet store and you hear all those screeching parakeets, mm-hmm. we would have them wild. We had toucans and parrots and parakeets flying out all the time. We would hear howling monkeys, monotitis, different varieties of monkeys at any time. I would sitting in the backyard and using your binoculars and sitting in one spot like in a hammock, you could see all the characters from Dora the Explorer in one sighting. And that was my backyard.
That's awesome.
It's awesome. We didn't go to the zoo. In fact, we did have a zoo and it was a joke. Like, why
is the point?
Why is there a zoo? We'd like to see the jaguar because we do have one, but you know, or panthers or pumas, but we're okay. If you go deep in the jungle, you can see them in person and it's not as fun. But yes, that is life in Panama in a nutshell, in a very small nutshell. You gotta go.
Definitely. Well, thank you for your time.
My pleasure.
Appreciate it.